Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I had been reading a lot about Ibogaine when I had been doing research about addiction treatment, and there were a lot of addiction blogs and addiction sites where folks were mentioning this psychedelic treatment for addiction and that it had removed people's withdrawal symptoms and drug cravings. So I started asking people, do you know of anyone who's done this treatment, either underground or in another country, because it's illegal in the United States.
And opioid treatment or opioid addiction has been your beat for a long time.
Right, right. So I talked with my editors, and I said I would like to do this story, and they said, well, we have to use their name. We would be willing to send you to the clinic to do it, but we want to use their name, and we want them to be able to talk about their journey. So it was very difficult to find people who would say, yes, I will let you follow me to another country where I'm taking psychedelics for my opioid addiction. So I did find some people. Unfortunately, as the story pointed out, many folks come to Ibogaine after, as a last resort, after they've pretty much exhausted conventional treatment. And some of the folks that I had identified who were interested in going actually didn't actually make it to Mexico for treatment because they overdosed before they got there.
They fatally overdosed.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's an opioid epidemic. It's a very serious thing, and I think some people get to a very desperate place, and conventional treatment doesn't work, and they do this.
So that's a question: is Ibogaine a desperate measure in that it's not proven to be safe, but it is effective for some? So what do we know?
Well, what we know is that many people report, as Dustin, our protagonist in our story, reports, that it took away his drug cravings and it took away his withdrawal symptoms. And that's been reported for decades. It's very controversial. However, also heart risks have been reported from Ibogaine, and folks have died from taking it, and that is also known. So, you know, it's unclear, and it's illegal in this country because it is a psychedelic. So there's not a lot of solid scientific evidence on it. Much of the scientific evidence that does exist is based on surveys of people who've taken it. But we don't know an awful lot about it.
Right. What was it like in Mexico being treated medically and otherwise?
Well, it's really interesting because medical tourism is such a big deal in Mexico. A lot of people go to Mexico for medical treatments. It's less expensive than in this country many times. Easier to get sometimes. You know, you can get it faster. So there's billboards everywhere advertising medical treatment for folks from the U.S., you know, English billboards. So that being said, the fact that Ibogaine is not illegal in Mexico is interesting, but it's not sanctioned. So it's not like you go to a hospital to get it. You go to clinics. It's unclear how many of these clinics there are. It's unclear how many people are going to these clinics. Although I spoke with various clinic directors there, they estimate that there are at least 24 of these clinics in Mexico, that they've seen thousands of patients, and more than 95% are from the United States.
And this is so off the grid, maybe, that there's no central area of research or database keeping track of how many people have used treatment, right? Success, not success.
Right. We have no idea.
No data.
There's no data on numbers, who's successful, how they're successful, although many of these clinics want to do it. But it's very interesting. I spoke with one person who ran a clinic in Mexico and was so concerned about safety because it was being threatened if he didn't pay off people to continue to operate that he had to close. So it's a little dicey. It's not just the fact that the medication itself can be risky. It's dicey about where you're getting this type of treatment.
And Dustin Dextrace is recently home. These pieces aired over the course of this week on WBUR. What do we know about the long-term proven effects, the success rates of using Ibogaine as a treatment?
The doctors in Mexico say that, and it seems pretty consistent with some of the research, that about 40 to 50% of the folks who take Ibogaine are able to stay off drugs long-term. Some of the doctors believe that Ibogaine eliminates drug cravings for about 90 days, and they say folks should use that time, patients should use that time to restructure their lives while the cravings are eliminated. So that's what the science says about those things.
Is there research going on anywhere in pharmaceuticals in the U.S. among companies that is trying to replicate anything that they understand about how Ibogaine works on receptors with addiction?
There is a pharmaceutical company, Savant HWP, and it is actually looking and testing a synthetic version of Ibogaine that would mimic its properties to reduce withdrawal symptoms, but would take away the psychoactive aspect, so they would remove the controversial part of the tripping, if you will. But of course, the Ibogaine proponents say the tripping is as important as the removal of withdrawal, because the mental clarity received during a mystical experience helps people as well.
Right, and that's a hard sell, I imagine, on the FDA.
Right, right.
On others who are running more traditional clinics using methadone, using buprenorphine. It's not clear, though, anytime soon, any kind of replication through a pharmaceutical or any kind of clearance from the FDA for Ibogaine at all is happening. It's not anytime soon.
No, it isn't expected to happen anytime soon. I think, these tests by Savant, HWP, for a synthetic compound that does not have psychoactive properties is one step, but one researcher suggested that even if testing were to begin in this country, it would be 10 years away, probably, before anything came to market.
So, Deb, we meet people when we report on them, and we end up caring about them even though we are supposed to be outside. I mean, you watched a man go through something very, very personal, very intimate, physical, tripping. We don't always get to revisit their stories. Do you know if you'll get to follow Dustin Dextre's to find out what happens next in his life?
I'm assuming I will follow him. I'm in touch with Dustin, and we spent an awful lot of time together. So we are in touch, and yes, I'd like to continue to follow him, although at this point I don't have a specific plan to do that.
That's WBUR senior correspondent Deb Becker. Thank you so much. It's good to see you.
You're welcome.